Welcome to Display Your Vision, the Nano Lumens podcast series brought to you by Business Radio X. Nano Lumens indoor LED digital display solutions are available in any size, shape, or curvature, enabling you to create the ultimate digital experience for your audience.
Welcome to this very special edition of Business Radio X. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor, delighted to introduce Director of Architectural Solutions, Mr. Randy Bortles. Welcome to the broadcast, man.
Hey, thanks.
So, Director of Architectural Solutions, that sounds like a pretty impressive title. What does that mean you do every day?
That's a good question. Well, we're tasked with designing strategic plans to go after architects and consultants domestically and globally, really. So, our plan is get our product in front of those early on in the stages so they can design our products in, and hopefully when it comes out the other end as a building or a stadium or something like that, our products will be designed in and in the construction documents, and hopefully we'll get the order.
So now Nanolumens is an innovator in the display space. And when you're having conversations with the architects, are they kind of blown away with what's possible now? Or is this like a new toy for them? What's been the feedback so far?
No, that's a really good point. They really do enjoy the wow factor, if you will. You know, architects by nature.
Pretty creative folk.
They really are. They're a lot like artists, if you will. They really look at their drawings, and they really understand what they're trying to deliver to their end customer. And a lot of times in the digital age, they're looking at something beyond just walls and lights and those kind of things. So, and they're excited about our product because we can curve it, we can bend it, we can shape it in the forms and the ideas that they're kind of looking for.
Now, has there been anything that they've suggested and you said, no, that we can't do that? Or so far, you've been able to do anything that they've imagined?
No, pretty much everything they've imagined. We have some Skunk Works type projects in-house, if you will. But there are some challenges, just straight physics, if you will.
Physics. It gets in the way.
People don't put a lot of thought into physics. So they come in and say, do it.
It's like gravity. It works every time, right?
complex curves, if you curve something both ways, that becomes a little bit of a challenge. We're working through that, if you will. So we think we have some solutions for them, though. So if they want to go with a globe or if they want to bend it multiple ways, we think we can deliver. You know,
spherical.
It's spherical, or
that's possible.
Multiple curves and those kind of things. So it's a little bit of a challenge, but we have a lot of engineers in house, and we relish that kind of a challenge.
Now, those type of clients, I would say, on one hand would be a challenge, but on another hand is kind of. That's where you're really pushing the edges, right?
Well, keep you fresh.
You need them, though, those kind of challenging clients, right? Because that's really pushing the envelope of what's possible.
It really does. That's a really good point, because that'll push the design. It'll push the thought process of how to even bend light or any of those kind of things. So we like customers to challenge us in that aspect. So we haven't said no to too many things. We're really chasing anything that, we do a lot of R&D projects here, and we do a lot of things with the architects based on, we tell them, display your vision. You know, tell us what you're looking to design, and we'll see if we can do it for you.
And what you do is large-scale visualization display, but it doesn't have to be super large. You said it can be curved, it can be challenging, and not be ginormous.
He's the light bender.
Right?
That's his real title.
Yeah, the light bender.
It's a superhero.
The based on the framing of the whole thing, I mean, it could be literally any size or shape. You know, obviously, we tell people that their vision, it's only, you know, kind of limited by their wallet and their
imagination.
Their imagination, really. So that's kind of where we are on it. We really want them to help push us. And then obviously there's going to be some standard products and some other technologies that will drop out of those kind of challenges. So that's what we're looking to do.
And then how do you kind of bring them back? So just because you can build something super cool and curvy, don't you have to have the conversation, well, what are you trying to do from a business standpoint as
Yes, we do. There's a lot of times, you know, where in a marketing standpoint or whatever, I mean, we can design whatever, but at the other end, if the guy doesn't like it or want to pay for it, that's a problem. So
it looks really cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's very artistic.
Yeah, it's got too many commas and too many zeros in it. They usually, they'll shut it down. But Yeah, there is a challenge between what we can develop and deliver and what the market's ready to accept. So the architects and the consultants, they balance that, if you will, with their client base, and we try to provide them solutions beyond just rectangular, you know, everyday television type application.
Right, it's a flat screen that you can put sideways.
That's right. That's right. I mean, we don't care what angle you put it on or where you put it even. So
now, can you walk us through, like, what's your typical day or conversation with a new architect that maybe he's never heard of you before?
What starts with a radio interview, then he heads over to CBS studio.
Exactly. I try to build it into my celebrity day. You know, typically what happens to get a little bit of inertia, we'll call them up and ask them if they're interested in what's considered in the industry a lunch and learn type scenario, which is an educational opportunity for us to get our products in front of them, but as well as there's an organization in America here called the Architectural Institute of America, and we have some modules that have continuing education credits for those. So each architect every year has so many credits.
They have to have so many credits, right?
Exactly. So we try to offer that. So, you know, we'll try to take 20 or 30 people and throw them in a room and
teach him something.
Yeah, try to teach him something and then do a little commercial for Nanolumens. But also, some of those people are there for the continuing education credits and the lunch, right? They're there for the free lunch, which is fine. And we try to deliver something there that if their role changes and they have a need for a design, we'd like to provide an avenue for them to come and talk to us a little bit more about it.
Now, the use for displays has kind of evolved over time. I'm sure when Nanolumens first started, they thought the customer was X, and now it's kind of expanded, right? As it's becoming more accepted, and especially with large displays occurring more and more in people's homes now, hasn't the market evolved?
It really has. That's a really good point. I mean, I would almost venture to guess that nobody even knows what the TAM or the total available market is for displays, because people are taking it and putting it in places you wouldn't think about, traditional places, right?
So what's an example of some of those non-traditional?
The non-traditional one, some of these people are building large scale stuff inside of museums. They're hanging it, they're embedding it into walls, they're putting it on floors, they're putting it on ceilings.
I was thinking houseboat was that first out on Lake Lanier.
Yeah.
Well, when I was in Los Angeles recently, and I went to a museum, and they were doing the Oscar costume design, and they had a beautiful display that was part of the table that it was, the images would change.
Oh,
and then
cool.
It was like, it was very interactive, but it was in a non-traditional. Then they had like a picture of the person with a digital display of their face, and the face would move, and then they'd be wearing actual like outfit was underneath that.
It's crossing over the social media pieces. I mean, you could imagine if you owned a mall today or even a stadium. I mean, you want to draw people to that and you want them to stay and shop or whatever. The fan experience and the customer experience, they're doing whatever they can to get those people into those spaces. So your phones and different things are going to interact with that. And, you go into a store and they'll say, hey, welcome. When you walk through the door and some big thing lights up and maybe even has your buying history or whatever that says, hey, don't forget to look at the $300 Nike shoes over on that corner. So.
That you liked the last time you were here. They're in now.
Exactly.
Right?
That's exactly what would happen with you. You're big on the shoes.
So there's really a lot of applications in it, and it's it's blooming everywhere. I mean, it's really exciting.
So now when you're talking to them and you're telling them maybe they haven't thought of using the displays in this manner because they didn't think it was possible, or they didn't know that it was just available, these kind of solutions. Are they kind of blown away by what is possible?
They really are, and it's funny because, first off, they want to, they think it's so cool, they want to design it and put it everywhere until they start to see that there's a cost effect, if you will. So they're making decisions based on the technology, whether they're going for something like a projector type image, or if they're looking for something that emits light and those kind of things. So it's exciting for people in all facets. The design people are going crazy with this stuff.
But now it's not just the actual display itself. The display is kind of can be a dummy display, right, where you can change the visual elements.
Yeah.
Infinity, right?
No, that's absolutely right. It refreshes it sometimes up to 600 times a second.
So they can kind of amateurize the cost of it for like season after season, or, you know, like it's not just something like, oh, we have to replace this next year because, you know, it's not useful anymore.
Yeah, we're finding the more sophisticated customers that we have are not looking at it as a cost or a capital expenditure. They're looking at it as a revenue source. So there's a lot of places in stadiums and even malls and places like that that they're selling the AT&Ts and the Coca-Colas of the world that says, hey, this is driving money and revenue for them. So they're looking at more as a revenue generator as opposed to an operating expense.
Which just kind of turns us on its ear, right?
Oh, it does. It flips the whole paradigm over because now all of a sudden when you go in and talk to them, they're not so caught up in the cost of the device as opposed to, show me the return on my investment.
Right, and how much revenue can I make out of this thing?
You know, exactly. So
it's not a cost anymore. It's incoming revenue.
Yeah. Our marketing team here is doing a great job on trying to put some case studies together on that so we can go to customers and they can talk to other customers that we have that said, we got a little sticker shock in the front end until we realized that the Fortune 100 companies were fighting over the space.
Right.
You know, and then you can refresh it. To your point, you can refresh it at any frequency that you want. Now, again, the thing that you got to be careful with in our world is the display is only as good as the content that's developed and put
right
on it. So the better the content, the avatar-ish type studio quality is really special. So anything, any real good content just sells our displays.
And then so you have to either be good at the content or point them in the right direction in order to maximize the display, right?
That's right. And we've got some really good partners in that space. We're trying to develop more internal expertise in that area. But our partners are really solid, and we'll work with just about anybody, you know. So the mapping of our displays or whatever, we'd love to work with content providers because the better the content, the better our product looks, really.
But I would imagine that this means that your conversation is no longer as a vendor to an architect, but it's almost as a partner because you're helping them, you know, like you said, ROI, there's money, it's not just they're buying a display that's just hanging on a wall.
No, that's exactly right. You know, you become, that's the other part of it is when you ask them to spend, you know, several hundred thousand dollars for a display, sometimes you want to be able to go back through that door. You don't want to be
right. It's not once.
And a lot of these guys have multiple facilities and everything. So the first couple times you got to get it right. And once you get a partner like that and they have the right content guy, you know, it's a really good partnership. And we're seeing that repeat business on that front. So.
So do you get to go on a lot of field trips, particularly early in the project, to get a feel for the facility? Or,
You know, we don't do as much of that at my end. Our guys are so far upstream, if you will. We're sometimes calling on architects and consultants that are designing things maybe 2 and 3 years out.
Mm-hmm.
So the building isn't even, you know, they haven't done anything with it yet.
So you're involved that early?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We get
okay.
involved way upstream in what we call above the funnel, above the sales funnel. So what'll happen from that is we get the design in, and then we'll hand it off to our sales team in about an 18-month window. And those are the guys that usually get in front of the customer. We're dealing mostly in renderings and drawings and CAD files.
And then some of the non-traditional places that we discussed, I mean, the logical ones early on, we said were casinos, things like that. But now they're appearing in higher education.
They really are. They really are. And it's funny because, you know, once they've seen the technology and they see how versatile it is, they really want to move away from your average, you know, throw a projector up on the wall type scenario. And they can convert it over into something that runs 24/7 for 10 or 11 years, you know. So they, you know, a lot of these colleges and universities they have people moving around them all hours of the night and things like that. So from an educational piece, from a aesthetic piece, the universities and some of these other non-traditional guys are really looking at this as a serious product.
So what's your backstory? Because this job really didn't exist at the front end of your career.
When you were
right?
in college, you didn't major in this, did you?
No. Yeah. I said that's what I want to be when I grow up.
So yeah, give us a little history, if you would. How you got to here?
I'm originally from upstate New York, and like all Yankees, I moved south. my brother went to Georgia Tech and wrestled there, and our whole family basically migrated to Georgia, and we love it here. This is home for our whole family now. So, education wise, I was a teacher for a bunch of years, and I wanted to be a coach. You know, I was a coach for a bunch of years, and it's funny because I saw my brother making millions of dollars, or not millions, but a lot of money coming out of college. And I said, he's no genius. I said, I could do that. So he got me into the electronic business, and we worked our way through the electronic hardware business for years. And I was fortunate enough to, he came to Nano Lumens as a consultant, and they hired him on. And he said, hey, why don't you come on over here and give this a try? But I really love the technology. It's exciting, and I spend enough time in it, so I kind of get it. So it's not a problem. But the architecture thing is new to me. I mean, I'm learning that as we go.
Then that's the joy of being with a young company, right?
It really is. It's exciting. You know, everybody in the building is a stakeholder in our success. It feels like a kind of a big family. Hey, let's go get this done type culture, and it's fun. It's been a blast.
Now, what's your biggest challenge out there in the architectural solution world?
You know, everybody has that wake up moment that you're laying there in bed going, you know, what are we not doing right? You know, so my biggest fear is that there are thousands of architects and consultants all over the world, and we'll fly to see this guy and that guy. My biggest fear is we're driving to the airport past 10 guys that could be buying our stuff, getting on a plane, flying over right. Another 1,000 to get to a guy that we're not sure is going to do it. But I think just branding and getting our name out there and understanding that we're a solution provider for that space and getting our word out. So
and you're not a transactional vendor. It's more of a relationship and a partner.
It really is, because and we found that with the display business that we're in and the visualization products that we're delivering, they're semi-custom, if you will, in a lot of cases. But it's not a price conversation. If you get into what we call a price knife fight, we don't do so well in
right.
those. We get cut up pretty bad in those. We're not the lowest. We're kind of the BMW and Mercedes in the space, and we want to be that guy. I mean,
sure.
that's a decision by our executives, and rightfully so. So we're not going to just give it away by the pound. Our plan is to design and deliver solutions, and hopefully people see value in that and pay us for it.
So your athletic background, I have to ask, how do you feel and to what degree do you feel that's had an influence on the way that you try to conduct yourself out in the business world?
Oh, great question. I love answering that question. Our whole family's pretty athletic, and we grew up pretty competitive. So we got involved early on, all of us. My father, who is has five grandkids, and they all play five different sports. So he's
wow.
My grandmother or my mother, she complains that she can't keep up with the rules so well. So she's kind of hoping they'd all gravitate to one sport or another. But the competitive nature of our family is such that we view a business day as another competitive event. We go after it each day that way. So we're excited about competing against our competitors in the marketplace, and we hope that at the end of the day, we've worked harder and smarter than they have.
Now, do you find it a challenge in the sports world? I hear that you always hear a kind of comparisons between business and sports. The thing, and I'm a big fan of both, but in sports, they have seasons, you know, that have a beginning and ending, and you're training, and you're actually playing not that much.
Right.
And in business, it's the opposite. You're not really training that much, but you're playing every day, 24, you know, all day long. So how do you kind of make that balance work?
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. You know, every day is like you said, it's a competition. We go out there and get after our competitors, and we hope we're bringing the right training with that. I don't know. I would tell you that if we surround ourselves with the right people and we understand the rules and we're playing fair, then I think we're going to be okay, you know, mm-hmm. because we have a leader with some vision, and it's a matter of just, hey, get in line and get it at
and do your part, right?
Yeah, do your part. It really is. It's sometimes it's that simple, mm-hmm. you know.
Good stuff. So if an architect out there wanted to learn more about what you guys are up to, you have a website or where do you normally point them?
Yeah, if they'll go to nanolumens.com and then we have under our partner section the architect and design drop down, if you will, and they can go there and they can download videos on how to install our product in a product called Autodesk Revit, which a lot of the architects use. They can use our specs there and they can make it real easy for them to design. We understand that architects are real busy people, as most of us are, and time is really important to them. So we have some tools on our website that they can go use, and we have some tools in the market, Arcat and Autodesk. If they'll go look at those, it'll make it real easy for them to download the BIM models and go design our stuff in.
Now, and if they were interested in the continuing education program, that's there too?
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. Yeah, anytime that they can reach out to us through any of those mediums and let us know if they're interested in us coming and doing a lunch and learn.
So you'll do a lunch and learn. If an architect somewhere calls and said, I'm interested in a lunch and learn, you'll figure out a way to make that happen?
Yeah, we typically do. What will happen is we'll put it out in time. Let's say somebody from Miami calls. We would schedule something out in time based on their
probably
schedule.
Probably in the winter. You probably prefer to do the Miami one in the winter. It's probably a good time.
That's right. Down on South Beach, we'll meet them down there. And we'll try to build some other architects and consultants around that trip, so we just don't go for one if you will.
Sure.
So and if it's some real remote situation, then we'll look to do a webinar and we can do those one-on-one. Mm-hmm. So we'd like to get them their continuing education credits and talk about nanolumens. Absolutely.
Good stuff. And that's nanolumens.com. Thank you, Randy, so much for being part of the show today.
Thanks, guys. I really enjoyed it.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time.
Thank you for listening to Display Your Vision. Nanolumens is revolutionizing the world of digital media with our elegant, simple, and energy-efficient line of digital display solutions. Available in any size or shape and adaptable to any curvature. Find us online at www.nanolumens.com.